Bishus Marina Rav Shlita. I say the Shil Ilu Nishmas Maras Miriam Bas Reb Pinchas Ha'el Shalom, the mother of David Levy, to whom we wish Lechaim Aruchim. There are a couple of psukim in the Torah which we're going to talk about relating to paying the workers. In Vayikra Yud Tes Yud Gimel, in Parshas Kedoshim, it says Lo Solin Pu'ulas Sochir. We are talking about your worker you may not delay payment from. And if we move into Devarim Chaftalud Posuk Teshvav, it says Biyomo Titein Sochoro. On the actual day that he has done his work, you shall pay his wage. And the Posuk actually lengthens its rationale unusually, and it says Biyomo Titein Sochoro Velo Sovo Olav HaShemesh, that the sun should not set upon him, ki onihu, because he is poor, that he loves him no say a snafsha, and his life depends on it. So you might say, oh well, the fellow I'm paying, my accountant, he's ever so rich, I don't have to pay him, but that doesn't make any difference. You don't even know how many credit card bills the guy might have, and that he is paying interest on the money that you're owing him. So the Pasuk actually emphasizes this. It says, Ve'ilohu noses nafsha ve'lo yikro alecha el Hashem v'yovecho chet. Let him not call out against you to Hashem, for it shall be a sin with you. That means to say that if the worker to whom you owe money makes a complaint or murmurs in his prayers, for goodness sake, get so-and-so to pay me my wage, then that will stir up HaKadosh Baruch Hu to giving you who owe him money a punishment. And the Mefarshim say that even if the worker does not make such a complaint, even if the worker does not have any murmur against you, nevertheless you might be lessening your days. The Zohar says very strongly that a person who delays paying their worker, Hashem will lessen their days. And if you say, oh, the fellow gave me mechila, the fellow said it can wait, according to the Zohar that doesn't help, because the worker might simply be embarrassed if you say to him, is it alright if we wait a few days? The Chofetz Chaim speaks very strongly in his Sefer Avas Chesed, and we're talking here about all kinds of workers, not just plumbers and electricians and dry cleaners. We're talking about your solicitor, you're talking about your accountant, your surveyors, your town planners. We're talking about all kinds of professions here. And the Chofetz Chaim writes in his Sefer Avas Chesed, he says, I want to put together these dinim of paying workers because it's something which is so fundamental to the functioning of the world that there are a number of Isur Lavin, Mifurosh in Batara. And he says there are people who are considered to be very religious, orthodox, from Haredi people who nevertheless tend to overlook this rule. They are Midas Tovas and they're very meductic, they keep all their mitzvahs properly, but when it comes to this, when it comes to something which they just regard as a slight bother, they don't bother. Mitzad miut chisorin yadia, and it's all because of ignorance of what the halacha says. Sh'ilu yodu mizeh, if they would know about this, bevadai hori mazarizim l'shalem, they would definitely be eager to pay bizmanom at the right time, kadei l'kayim mazeh ha-mitzvah saseh shal b'yom ha-titein tzchoro, to perform this mitzvah saseh, because what we've mentioned is a mitzvah saseh and also a mitzvah lo saseh. The mitzvah lo saseh is called bal tolin, lo solin pula sochim, but then there's a mitzvah saseh of b'yom ha-titein tzchoro, you have to pay on the day. And asks the Chofetz Chaim, would people not bother with the shofar and the lulav until night time? People are eager to perform the mitzvah as early in the day as possible. So why is it that when you've got a mitzvah of shofar or lulav, people are so keen to do it as soon as possible and would never dream of leaving it to the night? And here we've got another mitzvah, which is a mitzvah saseh and a lo saseh, which people are not bothering about. The Ari HaKadosh would not daven mincha until his workers were paid. And Gershon just told me a story about the Chofetz Chaim, told him by Diane Fisher, who was actually staying in the Chofetz Chaim's house, that when he came home and saw that a window had been repaired by a glazier, and the Chofetz Chaim asked Diane Fisher, did you pay the worker? And he said no. he said quickly, the sun is going down, before sunset it's essential that that glazier is going to be paid. As it says in the Pasuk, B'yomet Yitzei Schoro. So we're going to have a look at some of these ins and outs of this halacha. According to the Zohar, because that money belongs to the worker, and you are depriving that person of money, well, the Pasuk says, Ki onihu, he might not have anything to eat. The Zohar is saying you are taking something away from his neshama by depriving that person of the money which you owe him. You are depriving him from something which is neshama, because that money is to be used for him to sustain himself. And if he can't sustain himself, then you are guilty of that. Sefer HaChinuch writes in Reish Lamed, Hashem wants people to live, and if they haven't got food with which to live, then that's troubling him. The Peleoet writes that the first letters of B'yomet Titein Tzachara spells Shabbos. And it's with this mitzvah that you are getting your neshama, your seira on Shabbos. If you're not performing your mitzvah properly, then Chas V'Shalom, you're not getting your neshama, your seira. So if a worker finishes by Shkia, by sunset, you have to pay before Shkia. And if you miss Shkia, then you have to pay by Tzeis Kechovim, by Nacht. Alright, if he's finished by Bein Shmoshes, after Shkia, then you pay by Tzeis Kechovim. And the latest should be by Omer HaShachar, in the morning, by dawn. If he finished during the night, then you have to pay him by dawn. The obvious question you're going to ask me is, yeah, well, when I get a bill from my solicitor, he says settlement please within 14 days, do I have to really pay him on the day? Well, if the agreement is that you pay within 14 days, then the Isser of Baal Tolin won't bite until 14 days are up. After those 14 days, then you are transgressing the Isser of Baal Tolin. But you're going to miss out completely on the mitzvah of B'yomet Titein Tzachara. If you don't pay on the day, you don't get the mitzvah assay of paying on the day. Alright, there are arrangements you make with workers that you pay your bill to say by the week or by the month. And then you have the duty of paying on that last day of the week or on that last day of the month. It can depend on the agreements made. So the minhag of the place can have an effect on the din, and also the agreements that you make with the worker. But overall, if you miss... If you miss, then the deadline and you are over Baal Tolin, then the Issa has taken place, then it stops, but then other Issurim come into play. Lo Sashok Esreacho, Lo Sigzal, you may not steal, Lo Sashok Sochi Oni Vevyo, Lo Sova Olo HaShemesh, there are other Issurim in the Torah. So you might be transgressing 4 or 5 or even 6 Mitzvah Daraisa because you are not paying your workers on time. And there is also a Din Darabbanon, that once you have passed the Din Daraisa, then you are continuously transgressing. The Sefer Avas Chesed then says, if you are bothered, let's say you're out in the field and the money's in the house, or the money's in the field and you are in the house, and you feel like, well, I don't really need to do it, that is an issur to say, I can't manage to get it now. One has to go and get the money. What if you're in a different time zone to your worker? The Sheva Halevi discusses this in Chelek Zai in Reish Lamed Beis. If you're in a different country and there's a different time zone, so when do you have to pay by Shkia? You have to go according to the time zone where your worker is. So you can't make excuses that since you're in America you've got 5 extra hours. Now, what if I say to the worker, look, I'm going to make a condition with you because I want to avoid the Issur of Baal Tolin, and therefore we're going to stipulate that I'll pay you at a later stage. One mustn't say that to the worker. You can say to the worker, can we agree in advance that you'll be paid on such and such a day? That is okay. But to say that I'm doing it in order to override the mitzvah of Baal Tolin, that you can't do. So it's very common when babysitters are released at 11 or 12 o'clock at night, you come back late from a wedding and you say, oh, I'm sorry, I've got no money on me, it's alright if I pay you tomorrow. Well, obviously the babysitter's not going to argue with you, they'll be embarrassed to. But you are committing an issur d'oraisa. I mean, can you imagine, an issur lav is eating chazah. You wouldn't dream of eating pork or ham. And yet, it's the same kind of issur lav. if you are delaying payments to your worker. If your babysitter is not paid on time, you are losing out on a mitzvah saseh of biyomei titen schoro, and you are transgressing the din of lo sonim pulat sochir. Alright, if the babysitter is frequent, and it's clearly understood between yourselves that you don't pay on every single night, but you might be paying after a few nights, and that is stipulated in advance, that is okay. But you're still losing out on the biyomo titein schora. Now what about rentals? What if you rent furniture or equipment, or you rent a car or clothes? Does the din apply? The Shulchan Aruch and Choshe Mishpat Shin Lamatesh says yes, it does apply to rentals. But if you're paying in advance, then the Isser of Bal Talin won't bite, obviously. On the other hand, it's important to note that if you pay in advance, you're not getting the mitzvah of Biyomei Titein Schoro either. The idea of Biyomei Titein Schoro is when the work is finished, then the payment becomes due, and you have to pay before Shkia. But if you pay beforehand, then it hasn't become due yet. Depends on the contract, of course. There is a way around that. You can say to the worker, I'm paying you in advance, but I'm leaving this money with you as a pikodon, I'm depositing it with you, but the kinyan should take effect when you have finished the work, and that way you are performing the mitzvah of biyomei titein schoro. Now if you're hiring for a specific period, let's say you're hiring your lawnmower for one day, then that payment becomes payable at the end of that day. But if you hire something and you're told, look, hold on to it for as long as you need it, and when you bring it back, we'll draw up the bill, then you don't have a problem. Because if you say you hire a car, and they say to you, look, however many days you keep it for, that's up to you, and then when you bring it back on your return, then you have the duty of paying. So it depends on what the contract is stipulating. What about rent for a flat? There is a machlokus about this, whether it applies to karka. Hotels, holiday homes, that could all be included on this. The Gemara discusses this in Bava Metzia Kufyud Aleph and the Ksos HaShulchan in Shin Lamed Tes, but according to most opinions, this din applies to rental as well. What about a Rebbe, a Rav, a Rosh Hashiva, or a Malamed? Do we say that the money they receive is a sechar for their work, or do we say it's a sechar batola, it's like an unemployment pay, because you don't actually take money for doing a mitzvah? So the poskim say that you are over if you don't pay on time. You have to pay them their money, which they're entitled to, even though you call it technically schar batola. What about a shadchan, a dating agency? Now, it depends on what happened. If you actually instructed a shadchan to find a match, and they found the match successfully, then you have to pay them immediately. However, if the shadchan was doing it out of voluntary work, then you don't have to pay, because there's no such contractual relationship. You might show your appreciation, and that would be a wise thing to do, but there is no issur of bal talin involved. So, according to the Chinuch and the Rambam, they mention that the din applies to a Gentile as well. What about a mechalal Shabbos? So the Tshuva Sanhogas, Rav Sternberg writes in Chelek Beis, in chapter 730, that it does apply as well, even to somebody who breaks Shabbos. Now, sometimes we have a special relationship, of course, with our own children, and we might make them promises without realizing that we are entering the scope of this mitzvah of Bal Tolin. If you tidy up your bedroom, then I will give you a large bar of chocolate. That makes you over Bal Tolin if you don't honor your promise straight away. That means that once that child has tidied up their bedroom, you have to give them that bar of chocolate on the day in order to perform the mitzvah of Biyomei Titein Schoro, and if you miss that day, you are over Lo Saseh of Lo Tolin. It does relate to when schar is given. If you say to the child you can stay out later, well, there is another dimension to this. When you make a promise to a child, if you turn out not to be truthful, you are really harming the chinuch of that child. But it seems that when it comes to the issur of Bal Tolin and the Biyomei Titein Schoro, it's when you're actually giving some material reward. Now, there are some cases you might say, well, it's all right if I pay by check. When the accepted custom is to pay by check, you can pay by check. But according to Rabbi Yashiv, it can only be when that check can be cashed straight away while the bank is open. So there are some kinds of things you'll never pay by check for. Well, I don't know, when you go on a cab, they do display Visa and MasterCard signs. But normally things like babysitters and taxis, one pays by cash. So when the minhag is to pay by cash, you cannot pay by check. What if you go into a mikveh and they say the payment must be made in advance? So you are paying for a rental, you have to conform to these dinim. But if you're paying in advance, what you can do is you can have in mind that the kinyan, you'll actually makne that money at the end of your visit, because that's when it should really become payable. Okay, well the obvious question is, what if I don't have money? What if I just can't pay? And this has happened to me where somebody owes me money and I say, look, I'm sorry, I haven't got it. The person could plead that he is onus. Onus means he, just like he's unable to perform the mitzvah of lulav or tefillin because he hasn't got the money to do so. Gemara in Bava Metzia Kuf Yud Beis discusses this. On the other hand, if a person has got some metaltalin, some items which they can sell, they could sell it on eBay. If they've got food, then they should sell it in order to pay. They should borrow in order to pay your bills. Says the Chofetz Chaim Avas Chesed 9:7 that the person who owes money to a worker should be prepared to sell their assets in order to pay. Can I give a post-dated check? Well, if the recipient has agreed and it's stipulated in advance, the Tshuvas Van Hogger says, yes, it's all right, but then you lose out on the mitzvah saseh of Biyomu Titein Tzchorah. If a check bounces, then you are certainly over on the Issur of Baal Tzolin. What about foreign currencies? Can I say to the worker, look, I've only got US dollars on me at the moment. I see one or two people nodding here in the audience. If it's in Israel and you're offering US dollars, since US dollars are very popular, well they were for a long time, not so much now, but US dollars are generally accepted in Israel as a form of currency, then it's okay. But elsewhere, you cannot perform your duty and fulfill this mitzvah by paying in a foreign currency. What if you've got enough money in your pocket either to pay your workers or to pay for your own shabbos? To pay for your chalas and for your kiddush wine, which takes priority? Your workers come first. Same with lulav and tefillin. If you've got a choice between buying a lulav and paying your workers, you have to pay your workers first. The principle is that ein asei doche lo asei v'asei. The Bi'alocha says this in Siman Reish Mem Beis, Chavit. What if you say to the worker, look, I'll give you a collateral, I'll give you a mashkan, I'll give you my Rolex watch and I'll pay you later because I haven't got the money now. Well, does that help somebody who's starving? It doesn't really, because they're not going to be able to do much with your Rolex watch. But according to the Sefer Mishpat Shlomo, you are not over Baal Tzolin. You're not transgressing the mitzvah of the Lo Saseh. You're losing out on the mitzvah Saseh. But there are opinions which will say you are over, and Aruch HaShulchan discusses this. Can you do payment by post? It depends on what's agreed. Usually the professionals, like the solicitors and the accountants and the surveyors, will send you a bill, and it's accepted that that is the normal way of payment, to pay by post, or to pay by fax or whatever it is. Then that is the way to pay.
If that suddenly turns up with a wad of cash now, you couldn't accept because of money law.
Yeah, that's a point. Nowadays, if somebody turns up with a load of cash, unless you've satisfied yourself that it's not laundered money, and otherwise you will get into trouble with the law of the land, that you could possibly say to the person, look, I can't accept this cash. Yeah, and even though he says, well, I want to perform B'yom HaTitzim Tzchoro. So if he says to you, yes, but what I did was I went to the bank and I took out with a check some money, or with my cash card, I took out money in order to pay by cash, in order to perform mitzvah to be able to tzchoro, if you are satisfied that it's not laundered money, fine. But if you're not, then yes, you have to guard yourself.
What about if you're sending a bill from a professional person,
yes,
and it's inflated, and you see the faults with it? Can you send what you think is appropriate?
Obviously, if you feel that the bill you received is not correct, you can challenge it, or you can pay what you consider you do owe. So you are saying, I'm performing the mitzvah of the Yom Titen Tzachoro, but I have a query about the remainder, and I would like to check that with you in the meantime until before that's paid. Because that's not, just like we said, money which is agreed in advance. If there is a money sum in the bill which is disputed, then the mitzvah doesn't come into effect because it's not what was agreed in the contract. It seems to be something else. And therefore, the Yom Titen Tzachoro doesn't yet bite.
What if the other party doesn't accept the money and they owe all or nothing?
Then you don't pay until it's resolved.
And then you have to look for...
Well, then you can say, I haven't got the mitzvah of the Yom Titen Tzachoro yet because this is not the sum that we agreed. Let's make sure we agree in writing what is owed, and then the sum will become due. Yeah, it can't become due if the sum asked for is not contractually agreed. If the person who is owed money hasn't yet asked for it, well, obviously, if your builder is standing there at the end of the day, smoking his cigarette and sucking his cup of tea, just staring at you, then he's obviously asking for it. But if it's not yet asked for, you're not actually doing an issur yet. The idea is that if the guy is standing there, it means he's too embarrassed to ask, but he really wants his money. What if he sends a messenger? Then it's as if he has asked for it, says Rabbi Akiva Rega. But you don't have to go round to your worker's house in order to pay him or her their wages. What you can do is you can phone them and you could say that their money is ready for collection. And then you've done your job. If you tell them that money is ready for collection, then you've already performed your mitzvah b'yom titen tzachoro. Because if they say, well, it's not convenient for me to come today, I'll come tomorrow. Fine, but you've done your bit. And if an employee is saying, I'm willing to wait for whatever reason, then you're not doing an issur. But if the employer says to the employee, I will pay you next week, then there's an issur of bal tolid. One is transgressing. So the chinuch says it's a good idea that one has the money ready before. Namely, if you are going to instruct a builder, a plumber, a dry cleaner, or an accountant or a solicitor, whatever they are, you must make sure beforehand that you have the money ready. Because otherwise you will be putting yourself into that trap of committing a surah d'oraisa.
You could have a situation where somebody says, please pay me in cash and we won't talk about the VAT. So you're over an issur by paying him on time.
Yeah, well, we don't want to get bogged down too much on this. But I've got a friend who runs a shop, and somebody asked him for some items and said, I'm paying in cash. And the fellow said, well, I'm sorry, we still charge the VAT. And the man said, well, I'm glad you said that, I'm the VAT inspector. What about tips? If you want to tip a waiter or a cab driver, that is not part of the contractual arrangement. And therefore, if you want to give money later on as an extra, that would not be subject to the rules of Bar Tolim or Biyom Retitain Tzcharo, because you have no duty to actually give that money. You don't actually owe that money. Obviously, if you're in a restaurant and it's accepted that you are paying a service charge as part of the bill, then you have to pay it as part of the bill on time. Now, what if you hire somebody through a messenger? And this has often been a legal loophole, to take on workers through a messenger in order to avoid the issur of bal tolin. That's not to say you should be avoiding payment, but when one is worried that one might inadvertently transgress the issur of bal tolin, if you take on a messenger to engage somebody else on your behalf to do the work, you might say a shliach is just like yourself. That does apply if it's, say, a secretary. The Sefer Sheva Akosi says, if somebody was like your personal assistant or your secretary, then you can't say, oh, I did it through a messenger. But if you get, say, an agency to engage somebody else to do certain work, like an employment agency, then there's no issur of bal tolin. All right, you're still losing out on the mitzvah of Biyom HaTitein Tzcharo. Why is this? What is the reason? The Tosfos Rid says in Bava Metzia Kuf Yud Aleph that when the worker does not actually see the boss, he doesn't expect to be paid immediately. He knows that when he's dealing with an agency, there is some delay. And therefore, since it's not expected straight away, you're not committing an issur. Kablonus applies. Kablonus is when there's a fixed job. we once discussed kablonos when it comes to dinim of Shabbos and Yom Tov. But when there's a kablon involved, where you arrange a fixed job for a fixed price, could be a plumber, it could be a tailor, it could be an electrician, there is still a din of Baal Tolin. But if they're holding on to the item, let's say you've had your suit dry cleaned and you haven't yet collected it, then as long as you haven't yet collected it and they are holding on to your item, the same applies, say, to a service on your car, then you're not committing an issur of Baal Tolin. It's only when you come and collect your item, once it's in your hands, then you are transgressing if you haven't yet paid. The idea is because the dry cleaner or the car repairer has been moichel you. It's understood that they are not expecting you to pay until you come to collect the item. Obviously, though, if you spend 3 months till you collect your car, then you are going to irritate them a bit. So even if you're phoned by the car repairer and it says that your car is ready for collection, unless in advance you specify that payment is due immediately that the car is ready, then you are not over Baal Tolin. If he brings the car around to your home, then you have to pay straight away and you are over Baal Tolin if you don't pay. What if you know that the employer only pays on certain days of the week, like you know he only pays on Fridays? Then that is okay. Then you can't expect him to pay earlier. But if there was no prior arrangement, then there may well be an issur Baal Tolin. What about people who do work on Shabbos in permitted forms? Obviously you can't have somebody working for you on Shabbos, Schar Shabbos, but there are certain instances where you have a caterer, you have a babysitter, where they're doing work already during the week, so that's absorbed. But what about a chazan who comes specially as your guest for your son's bar mitzvah? You can't pay them on Shabbos, obviously. So then the issur won't apply. It will apply after Shabbos, because you will be expected to pay straight afterwards. What about if you are hosting a wedding for your daughter or your son, and you have to pay the caterer, and you have to pay the musician, you have to pay the photographer and the videographer? What are the dinim involved there? It's not so straightforward, because we've spoken so far about when work is done for you. But there are occasions when a sale takes place, and although you obviously have to pay for when you buy something, this issur of Baal Tolin doesn't apply when you're buying an item. And Biyom Tzitzein Tzcharo doesn't apply when you're buying items. So you go into a shop, you take an article and you pay for it. You obviously have to pay for it, otherwise you're stealing. But these mitzvahs don't apply when it comes to mechirot, to selling. So there might be some interesting questions arising. Is the caterer at your wedding selling you something, or is he doing you a service? And I in fact had a debate about this with my wife last night when I was discussing the caterer. Because I did find a sefer which says that the caterer is a din of mechirot. There's a sefer called Kitzur Baal Tolin, and it says that the caterer is a din mechirot, therefore you are not transgressing if you delay payment, you are buying the food from him. On the other hand, the caterer is doing a lot of work in preparing, he's got to pay his own workers, his waiters and so on, and most of the money which you're paying is probably not the actual food which is bought in, and in fact the food you might even bring in yourself for the caterer to sort out. Most of the work the caterer is doing is employment work, and so it seems according to that that there is an issur of Baal Tolin if you don't pay the caterer straight away. Certainly the musician at the wedding one has to pay straight away, but the photographer, you've probably agreed in advance what the terms are, namely that payment is not due until the photographs have been made. Well, there might be a retainer payment in advance, or same with the videographer, that normally there the full payment is due when they've come along with the product, and you might there say there's a sale or not. Or sometimes you get an arrangement where it's half each, where the car repairer is putting parts into your car, where he's selling you the engine oil, he's selling you the clutch, he is selling you items, but he's doing the work. So you do have a situation where half of the money you're paying is for the work and half of the money is a sale. So the Baal Tolin, the Issur of Baal Tolin applies to the work which was done and not to the sale of the parts. So this Issur doesn't apply if there's a loan. Certainly, if you owe money, you've got to pay it back on time. It also doesn't apply in the dinim of Yerusha. if you have a worker who unfortunately dies, so you owe the money to the Yerushim, the Isser of Baal Tanin no longer applies, because then it's a chov. It becomes like a debt which has to be paid, and it's not a payment for the service. There's an interesting question asked by Rav Moshe Leibovitz. He says, basing it on a Gemara in Kiddushin Lamed Tes, we don't get paid for other mitzvahs that we do when we're in this world. Why not? If there is a mitzvah b'yamatitein schoro, then Hashem should give us the reward for our mitzvah straight away. And surely if there's a din of Baal Tanin, lo solim pulas sachir, then surely Hashem should give us the schar for our mitzvah straight away. So he says a number of things. Number one, he says, well, most of the mitzvahs, all but two, were given by Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu was a messenger. And we learn that there's no Isser Baal Tanin when there's a messenger. Alright. There's another thing which is said by the Chasam Sofer in Pashas Akev. He says, we must never finish doing our mitzvahs. We are continuously in our whole lives doing mitzvahs. So we've never actually finished. So the time for giving us our schar, our payment for our mitzvahs, hasn't yet come until we end our lives. That's the Chasam Sofer. But really, there is another dimension to all this. Hashem doesn't employ us. It's not that we are the workers for Hashem. Hashem is perfection. He doesn't need anything from us. So when we do a mitzvah, we're doing it for our own sake. And in fact, often Hashem gives us things which we don't even deserve because of his midas chesed, midas rachamim. So the schar that we get from HaKadosh Baruch Hu for our mitzvahs is not a wage. Indeed, the schar that we get for our mitzvahs is so many millionfold times greater than the value of what we think we're doing, because we cannot realize how great the reward is for the mitzvahs that we do. So whereas a wage is commensurate with one's work, the schar that we get for our mitzvahs is a millionfold more. As we say in the last mission of Shas, Kol Tzadik V'Tzadik will inherit 310 worlds, that we cannot appreciate how great the rewards are. So we shouldn't assume that we are getting a schar for our mitzvahs in the same way that the worker, the plumber, the electrician gets a schar for his Anyway, so if you do have problems, one way is to tell them about these halachas. If that doesn't work, give them a sefer about these halachas. This is what I've done when I had defaulting payments. And then there was one person who was owing me money who didn't pay after I gave him a photocopy about these halachas. So I said to him, when you daven on Yom Kippur, please think of me. And the check came straight away. And afterwards he said to me, you know, that wasn't very professional. I said, I know, but it works. I hope you have success in getting the money due to you, just like I've managed.